10 teams, 4 semi-finalists, 1 ultimate prize. The Netball Super League 2024 has arrived. Hello, brilliant to be back on Courtside, the official England Netball podcast. I'm Lindsay and, well, hasn't netball absolutely blasted into 2024? Since the England Roses won that historic silver medal at the Netball World Cup last summer, we've had the New Zealand series, played against South Africa, and then, of course, the Netball Nations Cup, which was such a cracker, wasn't it? Now, though, it's all about the domestic game here in the UK with the return of the Netball Super League. And this time on the pod, I'll be speaking to 2 game-changing players about their hopes for the season. And I ask the league's newest head coach how playing for Australia influenced her leadership style. But first, I've got some really big news about the future of the Super League and how you can enjoy it. I spoke to Netball Super League Managing Director Claire Nelson about the latest developments. Now, England Netball have announced plans to professionalise the sport from 2025. I mean, that's massive. But what does it mean and where are you at with it at the moment?
Oh, I love it. Just coming in there with the hard-hitting questions to get us started. What it means is that we need to transform our sport. We know that there's an appetite for it. We see where women's sport's going. We want to be part of that journey. But in order for us to really transform this huge participation base and this growing appetite for women's sport, for our sport, we've got to do things differently. So that starts with the relaunch in 25, a new look, a huge focus on fan experience, and really starting that journey to what will be one day full professionalisation.
And can you tell me any more about where you're at with it at the moment?
I just missed that bit off the end there. So we're in a tender process. So we launched last time we spoke. We launched an open tender, open because, you know, we're welcoming new entities as well to consider being part of that future. It's a big ask, professionalisation. And so we've got to make sure that we've got the right clubs who can come with us on this journey. It's about moving into bigger arenas. It's about delivering a more professional programme for our players. And it's about really turning ourselves into an annualised business that transcends off the netball court and reaches into the hearts of communities, women and girls, and repositions where netball is. We need to build our power and profile. So tender process is absolutely in full swing. It's complicated. It's challenging. It's also really exciting because we can see what's coming and to share ambitions for the league with clubs, new and existing, to talk about our ideas for the future. It's a really, really exciting time. But that's all I'm going to say on the tender at the moment. Of course, we've been working on our commercials. Of course, we've been working on new broadcast partners as well. And we're really laying the foundations for what 25 is in this season now.
I think that word professionalisation is so big, isn't it? Because when you think about that in terms of netball, you think of Australia, you think of New Zealand, but we want to be there as fans and as players as well. And I think one of the things that that needs is for the games to be really close and exciting in the league. You know, how do we make it super competitive and captivating? And let's face it, commercially viable. They must be all things that you're thinking about.
Absolutely. These are all the component parts that have to all fit together. We can't do everything at once, right? I'd love to wave a magic wand and we're paying our players at X and we've got every single game being delivered as massive productions in huge arenas week in, week out. We're not. So we've got to do fewer, bigger, better, smarter on this move. But you're absolutely right. We understand our data. We know what fans want to see. We know what they want to show up to. We know what's engaging. And we know what broadcasters want to see and what people tune into. And we really have seen that through the internationals over this last kind of 6-9 months. We had a World Cup that was hugely competitive. We had a South Africa season that had a series that had jeopardy of 2 wins and it came down to that last game. We had a Nations Cup that was really challenging. And those games that are closest are most compelling. And that's what we've got to create. We are seeing that the Super League is growing in competitiveness. We are seeing that last year was our most watched, most tuned into, but we've still got a long way to go. So being able to create that compelling on-court product, that amazing fan experience, whether you're watching online or you're in there, but doing that in a sensible way that allows us to grow sustainably and really grow the commercial power of our sport is exactly what we're working on at the moment.
It's fab to get a bit of an insight. So professionalisation is the first point here. And I want to move on to the second piece of breaking news, because obviously we want as many fans to watch the sport, to get involved, to cheer on their teams and enjoy incredible live sport. And you do have an announcement to make in that area, don't you?
We absolutely do. We are delighted to announce that we have a new groundbreaking broadcast arrangement for the coming seasons. Sky Sports, we know, are a long and loyal partner of us. They've been with us through our entire journey, and they have just extended their agreement with us to work with us over the next 3 years. And what they bring to the table is not just a broadcast partnership, but actually, how do we create a product and a proposition that's going to reach new audiences and that's driven by that insight of how women, younger, and new audiences are consuming. So delighted to be working with them. But we also need to reach new people. We need to grow our visibility. And we are really excited to announce that BBC are now on board with us as well. So BBC and Sky Sports are going to be dual broadcasting every single round across the season. And we're also going to be taking games onto Netball Pass, which, as you know, is the home of Netball, where SSN and ANZ are being shown. So all of these new partnerships, these new ways of watching and consuming our sport, are going to help us to not only grow visibility, but create more accessibility and really take our sport to a new level.
Oh, it's brilliant news. It's so exciting. And I should say that the atmosphere at Live Netball is like nothing else. I mean, it's so loud, it's so vibrant, the game moves so quickly. I would absolutely encourage you to come and experience it for yourself. You know, bring your mum, bring your son, bring your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your next door neighbour, anyone. Do get those tickets and come and support your local club, because it is brilliant and we want to see those crowds in there. But of course, you can watch the sport on TV. As you've just been telling us, Sky Sports will be showing the season opening weekend, the semi-finals and the final on TV, and streaming a game a week free on Sky Sports YouTube. And for the first time this season, the BBC will also be hosting a game a week on BBC iPlayer, the BBC Sport app, and BBC Sport Online. And that is all free to watch. So netball is more accessible than it's ever been. Yep. And I just can't wait. I just can't wait. And I'm going to be there. I'm going to be commentating some of the games. So, you know, come and say hi in person or DM me. It's going to be brill. We do have to just ask you, though, Claire, who are you rooting for in the 2024 season? Because let's be honest, you've got a background with Sirens. Are you leaning that way? I know you've got to be impartial, but...
Do you know something? I was thinking about this. I'm always going to root for Sirens. My heart's there. My sister sits on the bench. And, you know, that's where I started my journey. But for me, actually, I'm really looking forward to being able to support everybody and watch some great netball. I want to see some jeopardy. I want to see some, you know, underdogs come through. I want to see some new players. Can't wait to see Jeeva take to court. That's a real commitment and investment in our league that she's over here, the return of Joyce. There's been so much movement this year that I'm genuinely excited for the whole competition. And I will be representing every team on my nails for a season opener. I'm going to have each of the colours represented in there. But, you know, for me, I want to see every single team do well, because when we have, as we've already said, got competition on court, the league absolutely succeeds as a result.
More, more, more. That's what it's all about. Thank you so much for talking to me, Claire.
My pleasure.
Well, there you go. The road to professionalisation has begun, and you can now keep up with season 24 across Sky and the BBC. That's massive in terms of exposure and accessibility. But how does it feel for the players? Well, what a treat. I've got Loughborough Lightning's Beth Cobden and Razia Quashi from Saracens Mavericks right here to find out. Welcome to the pod, ladies.
Hi. Thank you.
It's really brilliant to have you both ahead of season. And big news there, you'll be on Sky and the BBC. Surely that's great news for fans and for players, right? Go on, Beth.
Yeah, really, really great news. I think our sport needs to keep driving it forward, and this is exactly what we need. We need the coverage. We need more support, more people to see it. So, yeah, really great step in the right direction.
And what about you, Raz?
100%, I agree with Beth. I think we need to have our faces out there. Not just like drive the sport, but like participation and see how big the sport can get over the next couple of years.
Absolutely. And your faces are going to be absolutely everywhere because there are two games a week for everybody to enjoy. And the announcement as well about professionalisation of the league. And Beth, you've played for Adelaide Thunderbirds out in the Suncourt Super Netball in Australia. That's professional already. What do you think it could mean for the game in the UK?
I think it's really important that we do head towards there. You don't know what's going to happen with netball going forward internationally. Like Commonwealth Games looks like it sort of could be ending, and you don't know where the game's going to go. Yeah, so I think if we can get to a situation where netball's really strong within the UK and we've got a professional league where people can really sort of aspire to be a netball player, I think the pathway is now getting stronger and stronger because of that. And to have sort of like the opportunity as when you're growing up at school to think, oh, I can grow up and be a netball player is so, so exciting. So it's really, really good to see these plans sort of like coming into place. And just hope that it does kind of get underway as they are planning.
Raz, I guess we have to find out a bit more what this actually means in the long term. But do you have a job that you balance alongside netball at the moment? How does it work?
So I do have like a part-time job with a school around where I play for Saracens. It's just something that, you know, most netballers, you know, in the league and professionally have been doing for like the last couple of years, like balancing both careers. So I think having the ability to just focus on netball and put all like our passion and everything into that will just drive the sport so much. I think you will see the performance get a lot better because we're being able to put a lot of our energy into training to put out the performances on court that we want and we need to see moving forward.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Do you know what though? I always think when people say, oh, I'm a teacher, that the pupils that they teach must be like, my teacher's an England netball player. That's really cool. They're so lucky to have that in their school. Right, let's talk about the Netball Super League 2024 then. And I'm fascinated by this. I'd like to know how you both feel ahead of the season. Like, are you nervous? Are you looking forward to it? Are you chilled? Like, what, just right before the league kicks off, how do you actually feel about it?
Go on, Raz. You go, Raz.
It's a bit nervous because, like, you know, you've got like a full season of 18 games. I'm not sure how much it is this year, but it's just knowing that you have to be prepared. Like, no team's giving away easy wins. Like, it's going to be a hard season and it's week in, week out training, preparing for the next game. So yeah, the first game is a little bit nervous. After that, you kind of get used to it. You know what you're expecting each weekend. You know you're going to come up against another team. You know you have to prep during the week. And you just have to be ready for whatever happens, really.
I think this year is a bit different for me. Like Raz, you've been in all your camps, haven't you? And out on the international stage. And I think when you're in that, you're just constantly go, go, go. And you don't like necessarily have that much time to think about Super League. And then all of a sudden you're in it. Whereas this year it's been nice to have a pre-season and really build with Loughborough. Been in there since, I think we started in September maybe. So it kind of feels like the longest pre-season ever, which it's been nice. But yeah, I feel like now I'm excited and just ready for it to start. I feel like it's been a big old build up. But yeah, it has been nice to have that.
We're so ready as fans as well. We're chomping at the bit now, for sure. And I think you've touched on something there, Beth, because what we don't get to know very much about is the signing window and how it works. And I know you've both been with your teams for a little while, but I just wondered, like, do the clubs come to you? Do you get a phone call? Or can you go to a club and say, I'd really like to play for you? Like, how does it work?
I think there's like a period of time where there's like a window where no one's allowed to contact you. You have to deal with your club you're at first. So your club you're with gets first sort of like conversations, and then there'll be a date then that then goes live to everyone where everyone else can approach you and you can approach other people. So I don't know at what point in the season it is. It's quite like, it's not yet. It won't be for a little while. So it gives you a bit of time. But this year, I don't know how it will work with the professionalization. Like, I don't think any club has been decided yet. I don't know if that's the right thing I'm allowed to say, but yeah, it's all up for grabs. So I imagine this year will be quite late. It's gonna be quite interesting, really. Don't know how you feel about it. It's a bit weird, isn't it?
It's always weird, like sitting there like, oh, you know, we have to sit there and have that window. We have to talk to your team and be like, oh, what are we going to do next year? What are we going to bring in new people before you decide to go and look elsewhere? And I always find it weird when you're having those conversations talking about contracts or whatever, everyone's also in the same boat as you, but no one's telling each other any details. So it's like this like kind of like harsh moment where you feel like you're a little kid again, keeping like a little secret that you don't want to get out. I quite like the signing window. I kind of like seeing you know, all like at the end we see like all the players have gone and what's happening, and that's my favorite bit when it's come to an end and players start getting announced. It's quite nice and fun to see, you know, the new teams and where they've gone.
Oh, I'm so excited to see the new teams. I keep across Twitter like nobody's business. I'm there like, ooh, who's moving? Who's doing what? It's really fascinating. And what we're starting to see more and more is that discussion happening across social for netball, which is brilliant. And you're sort of looking at where people are moving and the names. In terms of the season, though, we are locked and loaded. You know those squads. And Beth, obviously Loughborough Lightning were the champs last year and you had a really important part to play in that. How have the squad approached this year? Because obviously, well, surely you've got your eyes on a back-to-back win.
Yeah, I think you've got to have it. You're like, every team is going to be out there to want to win. And yeah, it's be exciting. We've got a slightly different team. I have to say, our like starting seven is mainly the same, but we've had quite a different bench. And we've obviously lost Fran Williams from last year, who was a huge part of just the whole league, really.
She's gone to play in Australia.
Yeah. So losing her is obviously a big loss for us, but it's been great to have Annabelle Roddy back in the mix. And Jade Papula, who's come from Pulse, is exciting. And we've got obviously our import Nick as well. So it has been good. It's been nice to kind of have some fresh faces. I think it's always good like to come into a new season and have a little mix up just to keep it fresh. It's nice to always have like a mixture as well of like your youth and then your old people like me now.
Yeah, are you 31, Beth?
31 now, yeah, I'm getting on.
31. Oh, yes, you need to come and have a sit down with me.
I know.
You're so sprightly. I mean, I find that absolutely bonkers, but you are right. There is that sort of blend of youth and experience. And I always find watching Loughborough Lightning a really interesting one through the season because I feel you're a real team. It's sort of not individuals as such. You work as a team and that builds through the season. And I think, you know, I'd love to know, Razia, what makes Mavericks an exciting place to be this year? What do you think your squad has got?
I think with the likes of the two rhinos in front of me, of Jody and Vicky, I think we're going to have a very amazing defensive team at the moment. We've got some amazing shooters. We stole Emma Thacker from Loughborough. And she's such an amazing shooter, strongholds, and she's been growing like since coming to Mavs. I think it's quite nice to see, you know, her, Ellie Ratu, and those likes of them like fit in to what we're trying to do. I think me, Jody, and the girls out here last season tried to change the culture up and make it, you know, like a winning culture. I think we struggled with pushing on for the last couple of years. So, like, we really tried to hone in on that. And they've slotted in really nicely. And we just have this like fight about us at the moment, not quite like in training, right? We're all fighting for that position. We're all fighting to make each other better, which is always like a nice thing. Like when defense step up, the shooter then overtake and we keep going up the ladder. So I'm really excited to see what we can put out on court.
I absolutely loved watching you at the Netball Nations Cup, and I think you'll put some of that flair onto court this year. It's great to have you back in the red dress. What's the one thing that you would bring to Mavs from your international experience?
I will give Mavs my heart and soul. They've done so much for me throughout, you know, both my injuries and everything that I've gone through over the last couple of years. So for them, I'll do anything. That is home, and I'll always fight for them. I don't think anyone could ever say I haven't given them my all. But yeah, that's home for me.
Oh, that's really lovely to hear, actually. And talking about international experience, I just got to know, Beth, where is the gold medal? Where do we keep it?
We got given it in a box in a little bag, and it's kind of like hid. It's kind of just like behind some stuff on my shelf in my bedroom.
I think it needs to be front and center. Get it front and center on the mantelpiece, because that is one thing to be super proud of, and that 2018 Commonwealth Games was like nothing else. I just had to sneak that in when we're talking about Super League. Obviously, you've both played for England, which must be a massive career high, but you touched on it there, Razia. You've both had injuries and tough times to endure and to come through as well. I think you suffered a double Achilles injury. Is that right, Raz?
Yeah.
And Beth, and that took you out of the 2022 selection, didn't it? And Beth, you had a double ACL, two within, well, just over 12 months of each other. And that sort of took you out of the 2019 Netball World Cup selection. What kept you both going to come back to the sport? Because not only have you come back, you've sort of come back and excelled. What kept you in the mindset?
I think I love playing netball. It's such a great thing to do now. I think growing up, I never thought I'd be able to do netball as my job and be a netball player. And then when it all started sort of happening, as I was like at the right age, leaving uni with nothing to do, need to find a job, it was almost like perfect. And I just like it. I love being part of a team, and I love just having like a goal that you're all working towards together, and just getting to go training like with your friends every day, and like it's pretty cool. So I think, yeah, it's just something I've always really loved. I love playing, so that's kind of what kept me going through it, really.
And you worked with a sports psychologist, didn't you?
Yeah, lots of work. Yeah. I think we've had such a rough time, me and Raz, with our injuries. So it's like, it's hard to deal with. I think it's hard to deal with when it's your job. It's like your friends. It's like your passion. It's your hobby. It's kind of like everything in one. So when that's going wrong, it's then hard. It's not like you've then got other things going in your life, like you don't then just have your job that you go to, and it's kind of like less of a distraction. But I do think that's kind of what's hard about it. And I don't know, I don't like to play the violin about it, because lots of worse things happen, but I think it was a struggle mentally, and yeah, it's good to just have that help and use that, because we're lucky in that position that we get given it for free, and that's a service provided to us. So yeah, it's definitely something that I took on board, and it helped me come back, really.
It's brilliant to sort of hear you talk about it and be really open and honest about it, because the mental thing, Raz, and this comes back to how you got through it as well, was that tricky for you?
100%. I think after the first one, you know, there's, you know, bad luck, it happened. I think the second one is kind of like looking at yourself and wondering why your body gave up on you the second time after you've done, you know, 11 months of rehab or however long you've done. I think to do the same injury was quite hard. I think with Achilles, you can't walk.
Yeah.
You can't walk for that, you know, 6 months properly. You have to like wear a wedge, then go down. There's a lot of processes with like the Achilles. I think that was a hardest part. You think you're at a stage where you can do something, and being told no is probably, you know, the worst fear. I think, as Beth was saying, it's quite goal orientated, like the rehab journey. I think when you don't meet a goal, it could feel like the end of the world for you. But for me, I did my rehab at the intensive rehab unit just near my house in High Wycombe at Bisham. And I think that's probably the best decision I did, because I had five professionals with me week in, week out, helping me along the way. And they were just so supportive in everything I did. And when I came back at Saracens, there was no rush, there was no pressure. It was them wanting me to get back and fall in love with the sport again, because I play like the best netball when I'm happy. And I'm myself, I think it took a while to get there. But once I was there, I was definitely thriving. But yeah, it is hard physically and mentally, but I think once you overcome, you feel a lot better at the end.
I feel like you're both back to full force this season, and I can see you smiling at each other. So obviously happy in camp, looking forward to going into these Super League games. Let's have a think about the season then. No doubt you've been keeping up with the squads. Am I right? Yes, you've been checking out the opposition. Good. Now, I'd love you to go with your gut on these questions as we try to really get inside the season from a player's point of view. So we'll take it in turns. Raz, what team are you most looking forward to playing?
Thunder.
Thunder, can you tell us why?
Just because last year they gave us like a really bad loss, and I would like to rectify that this year.
Lovely, I like it. Go on then, Beth.
I'd actually say the same. We got whooped by Thunder in the pre-season. So yeah, I think it'd be good to go back and see where we're at now.
Excellent, excellent. So Thunder, they've got a target on their back from both of you. I like it. I'm going to leave you two to discuss this. Which team do you think is the dark horse of the season?
I don't think you guys might be, to be fair.
Yeah, I feel like we are, because we're actually really fighting for it. But I'd say Dragons as well. I feel like they've had some really good game recently, just beat Stars, so I think that could be a good one as well.
Yeah, and Star, I feel like Stars could be as well.
Yeah, I feel like they're a well-drilled team, so yeah.
So we've got a handful there of possible dark horses. And actually, yeah, we have got Jill McIntosh coming up on the podcast, who is the head coach of Celtic Dragons, or Cardiff Dragons, because they've rebranded for 2024. Yeah. So it'd be interesting to get inside her mind. Right, which player are you keen to come up against? Who do you look at the season and you're like, yeah, I am looking forward to playing against you?
I'm really bad at names, but Mavula is one of them. I think like her coming back, when she was at Thunder, she was always one of those hard shooters to play again. I think she's so strong. I think her and I don't know what the new shooter for Thunder's called, but I haven't seen her play yet. So and I've seen her in for South Africa, so it'd be nice to see how I match up against those two.
Yeah, that's Elamia van der Berg, I believe, coming in from South Africa. So that, yeah, that'll be an interesting one. Go on, Beth. I saw you do the quizzical face. You're like, yes.
I'm trying to think of who the wing attacks are. The person that I really always think when I'm playing against is, I do you know Iona Christian, but she's pregnant, isn't she now? So I was like thinking, where's Iona at? But she's... Is she coaching Stars this year?
She's up at Sirens. Yeah. But she is pregnant, but they have her sort of in the squad. So if she, you know, is happy and can come back in time for the latter half of the season, you might still get your chance.
I'm always just like, where's she gone?
That's a really good one. This is my favourite question. Who's your nemesis team?
I'd say maybe like recent years, it's always been kind of like us, Pulse, Thunder kind of. That would be top sort of three.
I think Storm then, probably, if you're going that way.
Yeah, they're quite close to you neighbours-wise as well, aren't they? So, yeah. You know, that yeah. the local games are always a toughie. Thank you very much. And the final question, why should we watch Super League 2024? What do you think it's got this year?
It's got new faces, new coaches, new styles of play. I think we're going to reach new levels this year. I think the teams are probably evenly matched. We've got, you know, we can't call anything at this moment. I think there's so many changes that's happened like over like pre-season. I feel like everyone wants it and everyone's ready to compete. So it's going to be like a really tactical season coming up and I can't wait to see what happens down on the other end.
Yeah, I agree. I think like all the changes, there's been a lot of mix-up, which is really exciting. Lots of people, yeah, moving around. And I think just like looking at how strong the England team is, and that's such a fresh England team. It'd be, yeah, like exciting to see all these players that have been playing for England to go and play Super League, like the likes of like yourself, Raz, like Ellie Ratu, all these up and coming players. Yeah, it'll be exciting to see them playing for their clubs and really like start lifting lots of different teams.
I just got goosebumps on the back of my neck. I was like, yes, I get to see all these players once again for this season. I'm really looking forward to it. Who's going to win?
Loughborough.
Yeah, there you go. You see, there you go.
Top four.
Yeah.
If I make top four, I'll be happy.
Absolutely aiming for that. Look,
sorry, Beth.
If you make top four, you can win it. I love it. Yeah, ladies, thank exactly. you so much for talking to me on the pod. I am genuinely really fired up for it now. So, yeah, brilliant to talk to you.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Well, there you go, Beth and Razia. Just brilliant to have them on the pod. And Cardiff Dragons, hey, one of the teams to watch is what Raz said. And I'm delighted to say that Jill McIntosh, who returns as head coach of the newly branded Cardiff Dragons after a short stint at the end of last year, is right here on the pod with me. Jill, welcome to the podcast. It's brilliant to have you with us. You okay today?
Yeah, I'm fine. It's just a bit bleak and wet here, very wet in Cardiff, which seems to have rained a lot since I've been here.
We're delighted to have you in the UK, and I promise the weather will improve. It's going to get better as we come into the springtime. You're the newest head coach in the Netball Super League, returning to take charge of the newly branded Cardiff Dragons after a short stint at the end of 2023. How has the pre-season been going for you at Cardiff Dragons?
Oh, it's gone very well. I came in about toward the beginning of November. That's when it all started. And we were missing three of our international players. But from January and then mid-January, everyone got together. So it's been good. Everyone's trained well. Really looking forward to the season. So just got to put our heads down and keep working hard and hopefully it will all come together.
Oh, I'm sure that it will. It's always interesting speaking to coaches in the pre-season as you get ready because for Cardiff Dragons anyway, 9 players from the 23 squad left at the end of last season, didn't they? So it's a very new look for Dragons 2024 with just 3 players of the squad remaining the same. And they're all in an attack, aren't they? So it's Laura Rudland, Philippa Yarrington and Georgia Rowe. How did you choose your new players coming in and how to build your team?
Well, it was just consulting with a lot of people and deciding what we wanted and where were we going to find these people. and then going out and, you know, putting out the offers, and then hopefully those athletes accepted. Yeah, so I think we've got a bit of strength throughout the court. It's nice to have Elle McDonald in the group. She was in England A, so we haven't seen a lot of her because she had her England A duties, but it's nice to have her. She adds some strength. The other one in the midcourt, I think, is Kanisha Chinwani, or KC as we call her, from South Africa. She's an international too, and it's great to have her on board. She's a very dynamic midcourt player and has fitted in extremely well to the cold and the wet with the group, so that's been great. And I guess the other one that's come from afar is Jackie Newton. Now, she played in the Suncourt Super Netball over in Australia, and she was in the Collingwood team that unfortunately is no longer. So we were looking for a defender to go with Leah Middleton, and Jackie accepted. So absolutely delighted to have both Jackie and Leah down that back end.
Oh, well, you've preempted me. You've done beautifully there, because I wanted to ask you about your internationals and how you chose those two players. But people will be able to detect from your accent that, you know, you're not a native to the UK here. You're a former Australian Diamonds player, captain and coach, and you've got some really impressive credentials. So you led the Diamonds to 2 Commonwealth Games gold medals, 2 World Championships in 95 and 99, I think. And in that time, you built up a 94% win ratio with the Diamonds. And I think the question for us here in the UK is, what are you going to bring from your time with the Diamonds? Because obviously, you know, they're world number ones.
Yeah, they have been. I guess, you know, we've been very lucky. And I was very fortunate during my time with the Diamonds to have a great group of athletes. Firstly, the Vicky Wilsons, the Simone McGuinness, who is currently coaching in the SSN, and a whole host of others. And then leading on from them, Liz Ellis, Catherine Harvey-Williams, some absolutely wonderful players, Catherine Cox down that shooting, and Sherelle McMahon. So very fortunate to have those players and be able to coach them and mould them into the world's best team. So with the Dragons, yes, it's a very new group, as you said, and we've got some very different players that we've got to mould together. But I will say, one great thing is that they have all come in, they're all getting on beautifully off the court, and I think that's half the battle, that they enjoy each other's company, they enjoy training, they're putting in the hard work. So I hope to just being able to mould this group into a very competitive group, a competitive team that can go out against the big guns in the NSL and put up a good fight. I've been asked several times about where we think we're going to finish in this season, and we're not getting ahead of ourselves. So I think, you know, middle of the ladder somewhere would be a great finish for us, having been in the bottom position last year, which was very unfortunate. So that's our goal, and we're working towards that, and hopefully it will all come to fruition by the end of the season.
I've really enjoyed the signing window this time for the Super League, because I think there's been quite a lot of movement. And actually, when I looked at your roster, I thought, this is an exciting team. These are names that are going to be interesting together. You brought those internationals in as well. And I just wondered, how do you entice the players in? You know, you're saying it's a bit wet and cold in Cardiff. What's your sort of strategy to bring players in?
Well, I don't actually do the speaking to the players. That's left up to our head of performance to do that contact with them. But offering them a very inclusive franchise, great camaraderie, they are well supported and looked after in every way possible. So I think, you know, it's just, as I said, having a group and looking at individuals and what they can bring, not only on the court but off the court, because I do believe that personalities play a big part in the success of a team. Having a happy team and a team that gets on very well off the court will play well on the court, and they'll play for each other and want to do well. We've been very fortunate to get Nia Jones back. She's a Welsh native who has come back into Cardiff, so she is leading our group and ably supported by Laura Rudland. And I think having those two wise head leading the group has stood us in very good stead. So So I said, hopefully it's all gone very well in the pre-season. We've had three practice matches. We've come away with three wins, but really that doesn't mean much unless in the season proper we can go out and do, you know, do the same thing and notch up a few more wins than losses.
I can't wait to see. I cannot wait to see what happens. What kind of coach would you say you are? How would you describe your style?
Probably very calm. I don't get too agitated. I don't raise my voice too often. Things have to be pretty bad for me to raise my voice. But I want the players to go out and play consistently well. We're after consistency, and we're after consistency in executing the basics of our game all the time, over and over again. We don't need the fancy stuff. We just need the basics done well. And so far, as I said, all the players are adhering to that and trying their hardest, you know, to put that into fruition in on the court, and that's what we need. Because if you put the fancy stuff in, too many mistakes and errors, and we want to make minimal error. Every error we make is a goal for the opposition, so we don't want to be giving any of our opposition any extra shots at goal than their centre passes.
Absolutely brilliant. And I can't wait to see a bit of Aussie style coming through your coaching techniques as well. You've mentioned quite a few of your players there. It's brilliant to sort of get an idea of your squad. But like I was saying, I feel like there's been a lot of movement in the signing window for the Super League this time. And I'd love to know who you've got your eyes on in terms of the other teams. When you look at the other teams, you think, who are you thinking? Oh, that one's going to be an interesting one, or we'll do this against that team.
Well, I think historically we've known that Loughborough Lightning, Thunder, Pulse, you know, those teams that have historically been at the top of the ladder are still going to be at the top of the ladder. And, you know, we're not in any way, shape or form illusioned by, you know, thinking that they're not going to be absolutely really difficult matches. But, you know, we're going out there trying to be competitive, and I guess there will be a group of franchises sitting around that middle, and that's where we want to be. So apart from the ones that have historically been at the top, it's the others that we think we can put out a good show against and hopefully get some wins.
Excellent. And of course, Cardiff Dragons, or Celtic Dragons as was, have been at the top of the Super League before. So you never know what might come back round with this new player group. I think the biggest question I'd like to ask you really is what are your hopes then for 2024? And why should people invest in and watch Dragons?
Well, I think we have a goal to try and win more than we lose in matches. We haven't put a specific target on exactly where we want to finish, but we're hoping it's middle of that ladder somewhere. And to be playing a brand of netball that the young kids can come along and they can emulate it. As I said, we don't need to be fancy. We just need to be scoring goals, to be defending well, to be turning ball over, to be scoring off our centre pass and doing it with minimal error and just doing all of those basics of the game so very well. And hopefully that will bring us the wins that we want.
Absolutely. And we can't wait to see those connections build. You've talked a lot about that off the court, really important, but on the court as well. Final question then, and this is a biggie. It's an international question. I have to know, is the England-Australia rivalry becoming the new Australia-New Zealand rivalry when it comes to netball, do you think, following the Nations Cup?
Well, it very well could. We saw, go back to the Gold Coast Com Games, where England beat Australia for the gold medal. And then since then, we've had a lot of England playing the Diamonds or Australia in the final. We saw that at the World Cup. Thus far, the Diamonds have come out on top. Unfortunately, New Zealand in the past few years have fallen off the pace a bit, but not for one second would I ever think that they're not going to make a comeback and rebound and get some other players into their group and come out and just be as hard as they've always been. I think the beauty is, you know, we've got those three teams plus Jamaica, plus South Africa and Uganda.
So brilliant, weren't they? Brilliant.
Yeah, Nations Cup. So in years gone by, many, many years, it was just Australia always playing New Zealand. And now we've got probably 5 or 6 teams that are really pushing each other. And I just think that's exciting for world netball.
Should the Aussies be worried?
Oh, they're always worried. You can't sit back on your rest on your laurels, because if you do, you'll get beaten. So, no, always looking out for whoever it is, whatever opponent they have, and doing their homework, and again, putting in the hard yards to make sure that they remain at the top.
Absolutely. Well, look, I think that the other teams in the Super League should watch out for you guys this season. You are my ones to watch because, you know, you do your homework, you know what you're talking about, and we cannot wait to see what you put out on court. Thank you so much for talking to me.
That's my pleasure. Thank you.
So there you have it. The Netball Super League 2024 is go. Don't forget to get your tickets to support your local team and tune in to watch 2 games, that's right, 2 games every single week across the BBC and Sky Sports. You can also keep up with all the action on socials using @NetballSL or give me a shout with your predictions. I would love to know who your ones to watch are. I'm Lindsay Chapman Presenter, or one word, on Instagram. Until then though, I quite literally... we'll see you courtside.